It's a lot of fun to hang out with a strong, sassy woman who doesn't take crap from anyone. Sassy divas can make the best friends, but don't always make the best mothers. Today we're talking to video blogging sensation, the hilarious Miss Lola Rose. When her two kids came out as gay, she panicked and asked her children to remain in the closet to keep up appearances.
Since then, Lola's come about 180 degrees and fully supports her children and is a proud advocate for equality. So much, in fact, her most popular video, Mom on Her Two Gay Kids, was yanked off of YouTube at the beginning of Pride Month when haters flagged it enough times to set off their automated system.
Only because of public outcry was the video brought back up. And it's because of the efforts of people like Lola Rose and her daughter, Jill Abrams, that the video sharing giant is even aware of its shortcomings when dealing with LGBT voices and the conservative backlash. Join us today as we talk to one of my all-time favorite video bloggers, the hilarious Miss Lola Rose, about everything. Why she loves President Bill Clinton so darn much.
Lola weighs in on Anderson Cooper, Jodie Foster, Ricky Martin, and Tom Cruise.
Why Hollywood is full of illiterate lowlifes.
How to be the best mom to your gay kids.
Making up for lost time and the healing power of forgiveness. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Before we begin, let's listen to Miss Lola Rose talking about her two gay kids, a video that was taken off of YouTube when haters managed to flag it down enough times to set off their automated system. It was later brought back up because of public outcry. This is Miss Lola Rose on her two gay kids.
What was difficult about being the mother of gay children was trying to keep them in a closet. For many, many, many years. It made them very unhappy, and it made me very nervous. There is nothing like trying to hide a big lie, sweep it under the carpet, or lock it in a closet and hope it stays there. It doesn't. Eventually, it comes out, and then you have to first explain to everyone why you did it to begin with. If you're raised in a traditional life where a couple is thought of as a man and a woman, it is different. And in order to embrace it, you have to really change all the things you've learned in your life. That's the hard part, is getting rid of what you know and what you believed for so many years. When you have gay children, you are considered by most people as someone who has failed at motherhood. And that is a hard thing to absorb when you're a parent who tried very hard to be a good parent. If it's environmental, I'm not sure. If it's genetic, I'm not sure either. I would say very honestly, you do have a certain part of you that says, why me? How am I going to handle this? I have to hide this from the neighbors. I have to hide this from the family. They'll never understand. It's going to be terrible for me, 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 me. As soon as you get rid of the ego part, me, 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 and realize this is not me, this is them. That's when you say to yourself, okay, how am I going to handle this? Am I going to love them? Of course I'm going to love them. Am I going to be able to be open and honest about it? I don't know. It took me a long time to sweep it out of the closet, okay? And if I wasn't loving and accepting of my two gay children, they're so fabulous, they would never be in my life. So who would be the loser? Me.
Hello?
Is this Miss Lola Rose?
I'm afraid it is.
Hi, Miss Lola Rose Abrams. This is Fausto Fernos.
And Mark Fillion from Feast of Fun. How are you today?
Oh, wonderful. It's so lovely to hear your little voice.
Well, we're such huge fans of your YouTube videos, which we've been following pretty much since the very beginning. You started in, I think it was 2006, wasn't it?
Yes, you're so right, dear.
And what was like the discussion? Because your two children are gay people who are working in Hollywood, Todd Abrams and Jill Abrams.
Correct. They're a year apart.
How did your daughter Jill convince you to start video blogging? Did she say, Mom, you have to do this?
Exactly. And I thought, oh God, more horror. first I got to bring people into the world, then I have to talk about it on the air. I mean, there's no end to this, because I was such a lovely person at the time. And it was difficult for me, like it was for your friend's mother. Very difficult, my upbringing and religious views and everything. It was so awful, like dinosaurs we were. We were just god-awful. And I had to learn all over that there's a world out there with people just like us who need a little talking to from an old Jewish yenta.
And was there any kind of hesitation? Because you're a very private person. I mean, you're not in entertainment yourself.
No, and I am very private. That's why all this was so unusual. But Jill is a very, very influential person. When she wants you to do something, you better do it.
Now, most mother-daughter relationships, there's the stage mother pushing the daughter to perform, but this is a reverse kind of relationship. You have a stage daughter.
I have a stage daughter who loves the business, who loves people. She's the nicest girl in the world, Jill, because she's so kind, and she's a very good child, and I figured, why not? What are they going to do to me? They're going to line me up against a wall and shoot me? So what? Maybe I should be shot. Who knows? Okay, so I said, we'll do it. And I thought, oh, God, protect me. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm doing. But we did it. And we met the most beautiful people just like you.
Well, see, I agree with pretty much everything you've said in all of your videos. And it's hard for me to find somebody like that.
Including Bill Clinton's A Very Sexy Man.
Absolutely. I would I would give him a blowjob for my country.
No, get in line. Get in line, please. I go first. I'm older. I should have some rights. And that would be like make my whole life, I guess, is to do that with Bill. Right?
Were you jealous of Monica Lewinsky?
No, because she was young and pretty. And she looked like fun, and she looked intelligent, and he looked like he was enjoying himself. You know, I don't like to take anything away from people. If that makes them happy, I'm not competing with Monica Lewinsky ever.
I mean, it's just hard to imagine that actually so many people were like, impeach the president for doing what most European leaders have, which is mistresses.
You're so right, Fausto, and no one would impeach him while I'm around. Because that would break their face. Okay? It would be nothing. They wouldn't go near him. William Jefferson Clinton.
What is it that you find so personally attractive and appealing, attractive, intelligent, and thrilling about President Clinton?
The same things you do.
So, like I'm curious to know, like, from your perspective.
I wouldn't sleep with him myself, but
you have to do it. If your president asks you to pleasure them,
yeah, Mark,
even George W. Bush, you have to have sex with them.
Listen, he wouldn't have to do any arm twisting. All he would have to say to me is, look, Loretta, you're an old lady. So if you're smart, you'll play your cards right. And if I ask you to do something, you'll do it. And enjoy it and shut up about it, okay? So I'm available to him if he wants me. I am.
And for me personally, one of the videos that really inspired me, and I quote you pretty much every single day, is when you were talking about celebrities and you said, most celebrities are illiterate lowlifes.
How nice is that?
Why did you want to describe celebrities as illiterate lowlifes?
Have you watched any reality shows?
Yes, of course.
They are illiterate lowlifes.
Like, you were talking about like actors and musicians.
I'm talking about being nasty. And general, okay? But the average person who's talented in show business isn't usually an intellect or educated, usually. However, there are the exceptions to the rule who are. And they're a pleasure to listen to. They're witty. They're charming. They're very intelligent. It's a pleasure. So those are the people I'm not referring to. But the average person is a moron.
Yeah, we found that, you know, we usually get like reality TV show contestants, and I would say for half of them are extreme delightful people to be around, and I think they have a very healthy reality of the fact that this may come and go just as easily.
Exactly.
But then there's the other people who, and this is what I describe it, is that because they're so insecure about themselves that they feel that they have to act like aristocrats, as snobs, because otherwise people won't believe the lie that they are deserving of their success.
They're not deserving, but they're smart to try to cash in on it. That's the great American way, is make hay while the sun shines. You never know. You could be gone next week. So I agree. Why not?
Well, and interestingly enough, you're kind of become a celebrity of YouTube.
Yes.
And so, I mean, you're obviously not an illiterate lowlife yourself.
No, well, you never know.
And in that video itself, like, you look very glamorous. Is that the one where you're on the white couch and you just, you're made up? You look like, you know, like Hollywood.
Well, my mother, may she rest in peace, used to say, powder and paint makes you what you ain't.
And where did, like, all the decoration in your house come from? Like, that is all yours?
Yes. I've been in this lovely place for 8 years, and I bought a lot of stuff on my own at Swap Meats. What's the matter with me? Swap Meats.
At thrift stores in L.A.
Right, and all other kind of, different events, and I would accumulate it, and then I bought the most fabulous designer, who's no longer in L.A., and he put everything together for me, and it was just lovely. It turned out lovely. Are you ever going to be in L.A.?
We go to L.A. all the time. We would love to get a tour of your house.
We'll bring you in.
Oh, my God.
It'll be our pleasure because you're so loyal and adorable.
Well, tell us about how did you and your husband, because you're separated.
No, we're divorced.
You're divorced.
Yeah, don't try to make it nice.
Okay.
It's dead in the water.
The low life that you married.
That low life.
So you guys, he moved your family from Brooklyn, New York to Los Angeles.
No.
No? How did that go?
That came, that evolved. Mickey, my former husband, lives in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And he and I live together in Philadelphia. That's where we raised our children, in Philadelphia, in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And then we went our separate ways. And we've been divorced 10 years. We're still very nice acquaintances. We have no animosity. I forgave him for being a backstabbing, low-life bastard.
How did he backstab you?
He cheated on me. How else do men do that?
There's worse things a husband can do.
Or they steal your money.
Yeah.
Okay, he didn't do that. He was much more noble. But he was a cheating guy. Couldn't help it. So we went our separate ways, and we're very good friends, and we love our children, and we try to do the best by everybody.
Was it easier for him to accept having two gay kids, or was it easier for you to accept that?
Neither, Fausto. My poor children suffered. Mm-hmm. Neither. So, I wish I could make up a good story about us, but we were very disappointing parents.
Well, how do you feel? I mean, you seem like you've made up for lost time. And it's like, certainly it didn't hold back your children creatively. I mean, Todd Abrams is married to a wonderful director, and he executive produced, he was a producer for The Mostly Amfabulous Life of Ethan Green.
Yes.
And then Jill's worked on a ton of projects.
Jill is so creative. She's an artist. She's a beautiful artist. She has a wonderful feeling about people. She is your best friend. If she loves you, you're loved. So we're very happy to have her in our lives. And she and Todd, nothing kept them back from being creative people. Nothing.
So how did you disappoint or fail your two children when they came out to you as gay?
I could have been a lot nicer, Fausto.
But nice, sometimes, you know, we like to take things nice and easy, and other times, like Proud Mary, we do things nice and rough.
Oh, that's good. I like that one. Oh,
I mean,
very nice.
It would be out of character for you to be just like, when you don't like to be surprised.
I don't like to be surprised, but I had a good inkling about both children.
Yeah.
They were very honest and open with me basically their whole life. And when it came time for them to come out, I wish I could have been a much more accepting mother, okay, and compassionate. And when I could see I was hurting them,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't bear it.
How were you hurting them? Like, because you were like going, why don't you marry a nice boy or girl?
That road I never took. But what I did do was hide them in a closet from the family and friends,
mm-hmm.
who, when they did come out, my family and my friends were so madly in love with them that it didn't matter. Nothing mattered. Everything, all the little worries I had were ridiculous. But I hurt them, and I will never forgive myself for doing that, not ever. You shouldn't ever hurt your kids. They did not ask to be born. They did not ask for anything. All they asked for is that you love them.
Well, kids get very embarrassed very easily, and talking about sex with your parents is never an easy thing, especially your sexual orientation.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe it was just a matter of time for both parties to get used to the idea.
I wish I could jump on this little bandwagon and say, oh, of course, I was ready to be accepting and wonderful, but I stunk on ice. You know what stunk on ice means? I could have been a better mother, particularly to Todd,
mm-hmm.
particularly to him. To this day, Todd is very sad about some of the things I did, and I don't want to make him sad ever because he's always been a constant joy to me. So I feel very badly. I'm a guilt-ridden Jewish mother of gay children. That's like the worst.
Well, you've like internalized the Jewish mother guilt back onto yourself.
Yes.
Have your children said, Mom, I forgive you. It's okay to move on.
Just Jill.
Not Todd.
No.
Why is he forgiving you?
I think because he's a guy. And maybe men are tougher. I don't know.
Listen, but Todd, if you're listening to this right now, you're married to a very nice, seems a very nice husband. You made it, you know?
But you do have a relationship with Todd.
I have a relationship with Todd because there's a beautiful child.
Mm-hmm.
Todd is the father of this beautiful little boy, Ethan. And he is a wonderful little kid. And he's very, very good to him. He's a very good father. And so is his husband a good father. This child is most fortunate. But I don't want him not in my life. I want him in my life. So I try not to make waves.
So, like, what was kind of like an argument that you guys got into? That
not an argument. We don't get into arguments.
See,
we get
uh-huh.
into a lot of, what would you call it? Let me put it a different way. Most of the time it's calm and quiet. Nothing is being said. But if Todd has to explode because he's in the mood or he has to say something to me, he will say it. And it will hurt my feelings. It will. But I accept it because I know I hurt his feelings. I know I was disappointing. So I feel maybe if we all calm down, it will calm down.
Well, you know, we interviewed Debbie Reynolds, and you know her daughter, and she's like a gay diva camp icon.
Absolutely.
But everyone's like, it must be a lot of fun having a mom like Debbie Reynolds, you know. And then Debbie Reynolds reminds us, well, I am Carrie Fisher's mother, and you know, and when you have a very vivacious, strong-willed mother, it's sometimes a really difficult relationship for the children, even though they're like all their best friends are gay and everybody loves them. But when they get home, it's like it becomes a source of conflict, the very reasons that people are attracted to them.
You're so right. It's one thing to be Debbie Reynolds, the actress, and talent. It's another thing to be Debbie Reynolds is my mother. It's a whole different ball game. It looks very attractive to the world to have, you know, fabulous mothers. It's tough. It really is.
So what can we say to Todd to make him forgive you?
I love you, darling. Please forgive me.
But forgiveness is something that is done by constructing new relationships, I feel.
Let me put it this way. I'm older now, and he's older. I don't know if that brought it to a different level. I'm not sure. But I have hope. Fausto, I always have faith and hope in people that they'll come around. Always.
Say to him, look, how many YouTube videos supporting gay people do I have to make in order for you to, you know, forgive me?
You're assuming he likes my videos.
Oh, he doesn't like your videos.
He likes my videos, but he doesn't like them more than his own. It's like a running competition.
Well, listen, we love your videos, and you're one of the most controversial videos that seemingly was not very controversial were you talking about your gay children.
That was the one.
And it went viral, and then on the beginning of Gay Pride Month, YouTube took it down.
Yes.
What happened? It was over 250,000 views that had taken.
It was flagged 50 times by right-wingers and people who are not gay-friendly. And they complained.
They flagged it not because it violated the terms of community service, because they disagreed with the opinions that you were expressing.
Right. It was getting too famous, too popular. They were furious.
And thankfully, you are connected to powerful people in Hollywood. And
those
you rattled your battle sabers.
No, you know who did it for us, Fausto, dear? People like you.
It was me. Well, okay.
It was you, Fausto, I swear. It was and Gay Carrington and some other wonderful gay people who just said, this is not going to go away. We're not going to let it go away.
And you actually got a letter of apology from YouTube.
Yes, we did.
Because I was trying to find that on Jill's site, but I couldn't. I was like, I wanted to read it, but I couldn't find it anywhere.
It strikes me, though, very, like, confusing is maybe not a... I want to find a harsher word, but it's like, this is a very wealthy, well-established company with lots of resources. And obviously, they're in support of gay pride and gay equality. They even spent a significant amount of money advertising on Glee in support of It Gets Better and LGBT youth. But their actual company, their business, doesn't always address LGBT voices equitably. And sometimes they allow their own system to silence them. And unless there's a huge public outcry against it, most of these people remain anonymous and never be seen or heard.
That's exactly correct. Because you're still fighting for your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's certain groups in this world that will fight for their lives and for their rights forever. Because of religion, because of race, because of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So you kids have just got to go on.
But is it at a certain point, is it important to also look and say, these are the things we've successfully done? This is where we succeeded.
Your victories are your victories.
Because it's like focusing sometimes, like I talk to a lot of gay teens, and it's kind of like the It Gets Better video really is inspiring and energizing to them. But on another hand, it's also like, I don't want to wait until it gets better. I want to do something now.
Okay.
I want to take action.
Well, then they have to go out on the front lines and get their heads beaten in.
They don't necessarily, and maybe they can just find one friend, one voice, one person who understands them, who's sympathetic, and start from there.
Well, Fausto, if one of them is brave enough to say, all right, it's going to be me, I'm going to go out on the front lines, and I'm going to be, of this generation, someone who stands up for their rights, they'll do it. If they're going to be yellow bellies and cowards, you know, like the president, God bless him, with Bin Laden, he took a big chance. Mm-hmm. But he said, I'm going to do it, and we're going to do it. And the same thing has to be with any group who wants rights. And I have great faith in gay people because they're very intelligent, they're very appealing, very attractive, they're very creative.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, go on.
And you're all adorable and you're all my friends.
what went through your mind when you actually heard President Obama announce that they had managed to kill Osama bin Laden?
Did you ever see anyone dance in their bed?
You were dancing on your bed?
I was dancing in my bed. I said, Jill, I'm dancing in my bed. It was the most exciting moment I've felt in many, many years. Mm. It's like a vindication of people who died and now can go rest in peace. It was beautiful, beautiful. I'm very patriotic, so
yeah.
I am. As much as I am annoyed with a lot of things in this country, I love this country and I love everyone in it.
Well, I think it was a great sense of relief for so many people because mm-hmm. the shadow of this man had been hanging over us for a decade.
Horrible.
I
God
just hope that with his death, also the U.S. United States training people like Osama bin Laden, which they actually trained him.
They did.
I hope they stop doing that.
Never, because you got to buy people.
Huh.
Unfortunately, that's politics. And in politics, you have to spend money. What do you think we have Pakistan on our list of guys that we pay? Because we need them. You think we'd pay them and want them if we didn't need them? You need them. They're a necessary evil.
Well, everybody needs you on their board of directors.
I just want everyone to be happy mm-hmm. and as positive.
By choice or by force?
By either. By either. I'm Jewish, so I don't mind doing a little arm bending.
Are you a Jewish thug?
Yes. Believe me, I am a thug. The worst.
Well, I loved your video where you were talking about you had a bully in school
come
into
your
office.
Oh, yes, and I named him. I named him.
Yeah, you actually said, did the bully ever respond on YouTube or
Facebook? No, his name is Robert Salky. He's still alive, the SOB. And he was
How do you spell his name again?
S-A-L-K-E, I believe. It's
Robert,
been a long time.
S-A-L-K-E.
And he...
I found him.
You did?
Wow.
Yeah, that's got to be him.
He lives in Long Island.
Yeah. I'm going to send him a link to it and say, what do you think about this? He's on
Facebook.
You
know what? He doesn't know that he would not. I don't think he would remember me. Mm-hmm. Now, he would deny it because he'd be so embarrassed. You know, him picking on this little girl. It's terrible.
He looks like he was Jewish too, right?
He is Jewish.
Yeah.
Yes.
He grew up and he's this thick thug. I mean, you can look at his face.
He was tough. Came from a lovely family. Yeah. I never blamed it like he had a bad mother or a bad dad. He was just not a nice guy. So you know what I used to do, gentlemen? I used to get all the tall, very strong guys and walk home with them.
Mm. Now, he would pick on you in a school ground
yes.
at your school.
Yes.
And then later on in life, you grew up to become the secretary for a company.
Yes.
And then he came in trying to sell them something.
Yes.
And you said, and you were like, just wait, and you made him wait in the lobby for
like
15 minutes.
And I was
minutes.
Very nice, but I made him wait for a very long time. I took his business card, and I said, thank you, I will give this to my employer. And he left, and I tore it up and dropped each piece in the trash can. And I felt totally vindicated for being so put upon by this terrible kid. And he was not tall either. He was an aggressive bully. That's what he was. If you've never been bullied, and I hope you haven't, it's a terrible, awful thing.
So did you learn anything, like, reflecting upon that lesson? Would you do it again? Or would you try to? Because one thing that I've always found is there's no better satisfaction to knowing that most of the people that tormented you in high school through Facebook grew up to be really unattractive, miserable people.
Right, but I was not bullied in high school. This was grade school. I was real young, maybe about 9 years old, 10 years old, and he was a very tough little kid. And he thought it was fun to pick on this little girl who he knew wasn't going to bring her parents around, because she knew that was the kiss of death if you brought your parents into it, wasn't going to tell a teacher. So all I could try to do was figure out how I could save my ass, okay? And I did. I used to walk home with all the tall, handsome, strong guys, and they would say, leave her alone, will you? Leave her alone. And it was wonderful.
Do you think like people, the Tea Party movement or a lot of Republicans act like bullies?
Yes.
Sarah Palin went on her Twitter feed today. Was it Twitter or Facebook, Mark?
Twitter.
And she said, called President Obama a pussy for not releasing the death photo of Osama bin Laden.
That was the best thing he did, was not to release it.
I think so, too. I mean, it's going to come out on WikiLeaks anyways.
Truth of the matter, you want to look at a dead corpse, that'll make you feel good.
Well, why are we cheering and celebrating a dead corpse anyways?
Because it's a relief after 10 years that he's not going to pull another thing on us. Okay? Personally.
Well, seeing him dead, though, don't you think it would give a certain amount of closure? Isn't that why we have viewings? Isn't that why we have awakes?
I agree with you, Mark. What I do believe is he will show those pictures to the families of 9/11. They will see them. And other leaders in other countries will see it, so they'll believe it, okay? Mm-hmm. But I personally don't have to see it. He doesn't owe me anything.
If I was President Obama, I'd carry it in my wallet.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm
saying? I have a large photo made and framed in my house. Okay? Just so I could look at
everything.
I think he did an amazing thing, and I know he knows it.
They were saying, even Donald Rumsfeld said that waterboarding or torture did not lead intelligence to bin Laden.
Good. I hope so.
And so a lot of President Bush's policies or ways that they dealt with terrorism actually now even Republicans are confirming this, made things worse and actually led us away from getting the people responsible for the events of September 11th.
Well, what was said to me, and I think is highly intelligent, is that if you do this to them, they can do it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So do I want to see a bunch of American kids being treated like this? No. So I don't care if they, you know, disband it. I really don't care.
Now, even the Dalai Lama weighed in on it, and he said, you got to do what you got to do.
Yes.
The man of peace.
Yes, but I still think that you got to have a certain amount of humanity. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lose your humanity, you lose everything.
So that's
you got to
you got to
care about your fellow man. Even if he's not worthy, you still have to care. That's what the Bible says. I hate to thump on it now. I'm sure you guys are probably saying, why is she bringing that up? The truth of the matter is, it's at the basis of everyone's life.
Or you could just tear up their business card.
That's right. That's right. I don't quote them often, but I do believe everyone has a right to be heard. Everybody.
Now, your daughter, Jill, wrote a book, The Myth, The Muse, and The Meshuggah.
Yes.
And she recounts, part of the book, she recounts her story of working for Barbara Streisand.
That was a phenomenal part of her life, working for Barbara Streisand.
I could imagine as a Jewish mother that your daughter working for Barbara Streisand was like bragging rights where your friends were probably like, Lola, shut up already.
That's right, because it was like I'd expect Jill to start singing. Just
what was she
around.
Doing for Barbara Streisand specifically?
She was with her on her tour in Las Vegas and her troupe of fellow gaffers and people who worked for her and her manager. That was a very exciting part of Jill's life because she was a very big star, and she had this wonderful Vegas gig as Jill's first job. I want to tell you, Jill managed to maneuver very well here in Hollywood like her brother did. So I'm very proud of them because they had no help. They did this all themselves. So they're really terrific kids. Terrific.
Now, have you had a chance to look at Barbara Streisand's book that's been out, My Passion for Design?
No. Is it enjoyable?
It is absolutely hysterical. Go to the bookstore and look at it. And she
don't buy it. Just look at it.
She has an underground village.
I like Mark's attitude. he likes freebies.
Well, it's just so crazy because she has an underground village underneath her barn that she's built so she can display all her tchotchke. She has like all these, you know, those little porcelain princess shoes?
Yeah, well, she's a tchotchke. That was what she did initially, was to, you know, save tchotchkes. That's what she did. She went to flea markets and all kinds of things, and she was one of the original gals who had beautiful vintage handbags.
Well, see, the thing about it, her underground village, and we think, is that she hires actors to play shopkeepers, and so she can shop in her own mall.
You know why
in her
that's
basement.
Not true? You know why that's not true,
why?
Dear? Not that it's not a great idea. She's too cheap to pay them. And if you think some actor is going to work for free, that's not how it works, okay?
But
you guys don't want to work for free. Why would that?
She has her basement, though, completely structured. Like, there's a cashier, there's a bench, there's street lights, there's a cobblestone street inside the basement to look like outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure
how immature is this? In your mind, how immature is this?
It seems like kind of like controlling or something.
It is. Well, she's controlling. Mm-hmm. She's married to this handsome guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who she takes care of 100%, and he's very happy. Why not? Where is he going? Okay. And how would you like her to be your mother-in-law, Diane Lane? That's her mother-in-law. She's married to Josh Brolin, okay?
I hope she has a sense of humor about things, though.
I don't think she has a great sense of humor.
I mean, for being such a great comedian, you know, you would think a lot of comedians are actually really funny people in real life.
No, they're
but
not.
They're miserable, most of them.
They're not sweet like you and me and Mark and Jill Abrams, no.
Well, are you going to be making like a video in support of gay teens or like giving them motherly advice for Mother's Day?
I think that's a very good idea. I will discuss it with my producer, director, videographer. Chief Yenta pushes me around good, is Jill. So we will discuss that. I think it's a very good idea. I like it.
Do you guys ever do video blogs together? Because it seems usually it's just you on camera.
That's right. Jill is very shy. She doesn't like to be on camera. So she puts me there to get all the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. So, you know, she knows, let her take the hit.
I like it, though, that when you're walking in New York City and she made it edited like you were screaming at children.
Yes. Now, there were people who actually thought I said that awful thing to that poor little baby.
What did you say to that baby?
I said to that baby, shut the fuck up. Now, in New York, if you ever stopped anywhere, mm-hmm. on any street, and said that to any human being, you'd be dead in about 2 minutes, okay? So how dumb can I be? But we did it, but Jill did it in such a way, because she's so talented, that it actually looked like I was making these terrible comments to people who had the misfortune to walk by me. So it was really wonderful. Jill is talented, 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 and I'm lucky, 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 lucky.
Now,
and I want to thank you for singing happy birthday to me.
Oh, that was so, it was no big deal.
It is. Don't say that.
No,
it's a big deal when people who never met you will stop and sing happy birthday to you. I think it's the biggest deal there is.
It was free. Why shouldn't I do it?
I don't want to look at it that way. Because then I'm going to get cynical and you're not going to be happy. Okay?
Oh, I love your cynicism. Let's listen to you talk about celebrities, because that's I know it's a little bit superficial, but it is absolutely so delicious hearing you comment on the rich and powerful and the lowlifes of entertainment.
Right. So what do you want me to say?
I want you to talk about George Clooney.
Okay. George Clooney is another man that I would just lie down, part my ways, and say, Georgie. Come here. Okay, I find him so appealing. He's such a charming, appealing gentleman. I want you to know, I love men as much as you love men, okay? I really love men. I think they are the most wonderful people, okay? But I love him in particular because he cares. He's caring. And if I meet another human being who's caring, I'm very impressed with them.
Have you met any men through your YouTube channel?
Oh, yes. They write to me. And I think they're guys who are looking to be taken care of financially.
Like you have any money.
Gigolos.
Like, well, the point is, they can try.
I bought these fancy statues at yard sales.
That's right. But very honestly, you can't blame people for trying. Men who are a certain age need money. They just don't have it anymore. They don't have the ways of earning it. So all I can tell you is it was just a pleasure.
What do you think about all these reality TV show housewives? Because I really don't watch any of them. But
well, you wouldn't like them because they're not going to appeal to you. Unless you're Andy Cohen, the guy who runs all those shows, why would they appeal to you? They're awful.
Just gay men awful. Love them, though. I mean, most gay men are adoring. You know what it is that they become a vessel for their problems in life. And it's a lot of these women are, they have the appearance that they have it all, but then they torture their faces with way too much plastic surgery, so they come across looking like fire accident victims. And then everybody treats them really nice because they feel a little bit pity for them. And so they think, oh, my plastic surgery makes me look really hot, so I'm going to get more plastic surgery so I'm treated even nicer.
Then you have to feel pity for women, because after a certain age, they're just very insecure about everything.
But if you give them pity, that feeds their desire to get plastic surgery.
They have the money, they have the time, and if they feel that's going to lift them above them, their daily, you know, humdrum life, good. Who cares? But for the most part, they're awful. Awful. And I don't recommend you watch them.
Paris Hilton.
She's a cute girl. That's what she is. She's a cute girl.
She was like actually shown. There was a picture going around the internet, and she was hanging out with Britney Spears.
Yeah.
And Britney Spears was like trying to spread her legs open for the paparazzi, and Paris Hilton's reaching over and closing her legs for her.
Well, you know, you're not talking about highly educated, class act women. You're talking about good looking young women who are out there for guys.
What did let's see, Lindsay Lohan and from Saturday Night Live, Betty White.
Yes.
She said it's like people who, and Charlie Sheen, people who have everything in the world and they throw it all away.
Do you think it's that simple to ruin your life?
I think it's that they just haven't had therapy. A lot of these people get thrusted into a very volatile, high-stakes game, and they just don't know how to handle it.
I hate to sound like a broken record, but you got to look at the parents, too.
Mm-hmm.
How were they raised? What kind of values? Did the mother keep telling her, you're so gorgeous, so gorgeous? And that wasn't really everything this kid had to hear. She knew she was gorgeous. She had a mirror. But she should have said to her, you're a worthy person. You're a valuable person. Do something wonderful with your life. Okay? So you got to also look at who's raising them.
Let's
talk about indifferent.
Talk about closeted or semi-closeted or recently out gay celebrities. Sean Hayes.
Sean Hayes. If you couldn't tell Sean Hayes was a gay gentleman, I don't know what you thought you were looking at. He's also very talented. Very, very talented.
Clay Aiken.
I don't think I'm the one to ask about Clay Aiken.
Well, I want to hear what you have to say.
Okay, that's terrible. I don't want to say anything. He's creepy.
Why do you think Clay Aiken is creepy?
Because he's creepy. He's a southern creepy guy.
Ricky Martin.
Ricky Martin's adorable. Adorable. Very adorable. It looks like he's a good dad and good friend, and he cares about people. He's philanthropic. He's nice. Nice. Adorable guy.
I want to know, did you watch the royal wedding this past week?
8,000 times.
Do these people have a chance in hell of being happy?
No. That's too goddamn bad. If you're more British than Yiddish, that's your problem.
Oh, can I put that on a t-shirt?
If you're more British than Yiddish.
That's right.
Okay, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Adorable.
Tom Cruise.
Ugh.
What do you hate Tom Cruise?
I just can't stand him.
John Travolta.
Also can't stand him.
You know, your son's husband worked as an assistant director for one of his films.
Yes.
Does that create problems for you to create a YouTube video trashing John Travolta and him being working with him again?
No, he told me he knew on that set that John Travolta was closeted.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like he's kind of like given up trying to hide it.
He pays them a lot of money,
yeah.
Scientology, the Church of Scientology, to protect him. And good. I don't want to see him suffer. He's not a bad human being. He's just creepy.
Colin Farrell, who...
Oh, my God. How sexy is he?
And Ooh. Anderson Cooper?
Anderson Cooper. I really was surprised when I found out he was gay. But he's a nice man. He's intelligent. He doesn't hurt anybody. Who cares?
What about Boy George?
Boy George. I remember when I loved him when he first was performing as a singer in that group. He was terrific. Now he's kind of like heavy, and he's kind of over the hill. And what can I say? And I hope people who love him forgive me.
And what about the openly gay journalist hunk on MSNBC, Thomas Roberts?
Now, I'm not sure I know the gentleman.
Oh, honey, you better turn on the TV.
I better get up.
Sets.
Take a good look.
He is hot. And you just search Thomas Roberts shirtless. He has a way better body than Anderson Cooper. Anderson Cooper is like a pale little goldfish where you reel in a shark with Thomas Roberts.
Anderson Cooper is a tiny guy.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He doesn't have to worry. He's a Vanderbilt.
Well, he has a built-up little body. I'm sure he's a great lover, but if I had to choose between Thomas Roberts and Anderson Cooper, Thomas Roberts all the way.
Really? Anderson Cooper is worth millions.
You know what? Money doesn't buy sexiness in bed.
No, but it makes you happy in your old age.
That's true.
Okay, and Anderson Cooper will always be happy because his mother will make sure he is.
Does she still have a lot of that Vanderbilt money, or did they
yes,
lose
she
a
does.
Lot of it?
The people who have money forever. Mm-hmm. Old money, it's still there forever.
Mm. What do you think about Sir Ian McKellen?
Ian McKellen. the older gentleman.
Yes.
Wonderful actor.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Very terrific, 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 terrific.
And then in terms of the ladies, Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell has her moments in The Sun where she's terrific and other moments where she's embarrassing. But that's any human being, so.
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster. Highly educated, very attractive. There's something weird about her because of her liking for Mel Gibson. I don't understand it.
Yeah, what is up with all these celebrities defending Mel Gibson?
Because he probably pays them big bucks. He finances their deals, and he finances their different gigs. He's a friend to them.
Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah. Cute. She's cute.
He's cute.
She's cute.
She.
I did not say he's cute. I said she's cute.
Katie Lang.
Now you've hit upon the one gay woman I'm crazy about, is K.D. Lang.
What do you like so much about Katie?
Her voice.
She's
got
a beautiful
voice, isn't
she?
The most gorgeous. And she's very pleasant and very nice.
And the lesbian of the hour, the biggest name right now, besides Ellen DeGeneres, is Jane Lynch.
Oh, I love Jane Lynch. How can you not love her?
She's so much likable and so talented. And I feel like as much as we enjoy watching her on Glee, I feel like her talents are being squandered on that show.
She'll leave it very soon and go into her own something, or she'll go on Broadway, and she'll be terrific, and she's got a wonderful partner in life, and they have a life together, and she's terrific. She's found the happy life. She's wonderful.
And that is really, what is the secret to a happy life?
The secret to a happy life is what Jill is in. Jill is in the happy life because she's in love. She loves her girlfriend, and her girlfriend loves her, and they have money together. They're liquid, and they're moving into a lovely place together in another week. So all I can say is, a guy like you, Fausto, and Mark, are you guys together?
Yes. We are.
Okay. You're so lucky.
Well, thank you.
You're
I'm
so lucky.
Lucky.
I feel lucky.
I don't know what else I can say. And stay healthy. Please stay healthy.
I don't know about that.
No excessive drinking. Don't get nuts.
Hey, listen, don't go crazy on me now.
Yes, don't go crazy on me.
But it is Mother's Day coming around, and we want to thank you so much for taking an afternoon of your day and to sharing it with us.
My pleasure, my pleasure, my pleasure.
What advice would you have for moms and dads and parents out there in dealing with their children?
Love your children. Everything else will take care of itself.
Miss Lola Rose lives in Los Angeles, California. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking to her daughter, Jill Abrams. This is a two-part show. After this interview, what do we get right and what do we get wrong?
Well, we didn't plan it as a two-part interview. I didn't even know if we were going to talk to Jill, but Jill got on the phone and she had a lot to say. So make sure
it's delicious.
Check it out tomorrow.
So juicy.
And we go everywhere tomorrow.
I know. It almost like feels like the tables were turned and she asked us about things about our podcast that no one's ever asked us before.
Well, that's the thing, too, is like people often say, you should do a podcast where somebody else interviews you. And I kind of feel like, that's what it is.
This is the show. This is the show, people. You want to know behind the scenes, who are our enemies? Who do we love? Who do we celebrate? And why do we say the things that we do? Mm-hmm. Jill Abrams got it out of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not holding back.
So that's tomorrow.
But Miss Lola Rose, man, she brings something good out of me.
I know. You know what it is? She's making me want to call my mom now.
Yeah, I want to call my mom, too.
Well, let's get, everybody, call your mom after the show.
Call
Don't
your
wait
mother.
Till Mother's Day.
Yeah, why wait?
So this is what you're going to do. Get off the phone, get off the podcast, call your mother, and then go to feastoffun.com/donate and make a contribution to our ongoing website development costs, because we really can't do the show without your support.
Yeah, donate to the Feast of Fun in the name of your mother for Mother's Day.
Aw,
why give your mother a bouquet of roses when you can, for the same amount of money, you can help to pay for podcasts so that LGBT people living in small towns and young people everywhere can access this show and learn about finding an ally, find someone who can help you, create a gay and lesbian student alliance, find one person that can sympathize with you, and that is when it gets better. Small steps, people. That's all it takes. We're going to leave you here with the music by Ellen once again, the song Spreading the Love from her album Spreading the Love. She's a fantastic diva, and her music's fantastic all the way from Dallas, Texas, y'all. And she has some really creative YouTube videos where she actually makes music using her iPad and the GarageBand app.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool stuff. So thanks for listening, and wait till tomorrow for part two. I'm Fausto Fernandez.
I'm Mark Williams.
Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.